Right now, we turn to the topic of hard choices. We all know that states across the country are being squeezed. State budget offices are being forced to cut both fat and bone. Many states are cutting some spending on the arts. In a few states, arts funding could be eliminated altogether. In a minute, we're going to hear how that's playing out in one state, but we wanted to let you know that we want to hear from you on this subject. What is happening in your state to arts funding? Is that the right place to cut budgets? Or if you don't want to cut the arts, what other program would you cut instead? Give us a phone call at 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now from his office in New Jersey is Micah Rasmussen. He's a spokesman for the governor of New Jersey, James McGreevy. And Micah, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I understand New Jersey is one of the states that may be eliminating state funding for the arts. Is that right?
That's correct. Most of the states, if not all of the states, are in fiscal crisis this year. New Jersey has actually faced the same crisis last year. When we came into office the prior year, Governor McGreevy was forced to close a budget deficit immediately. So we're getting pretty used to this, but we're also running out of areas that we can just tighten the belt. And the economic prospect looks like the same thing is going to happen next year. So we're really running out of places to turn. And this year, we were forced to make over $1 billion in cuts from the state budget, which is just unprecedented. And one of the victims of the budget acts was arts funding in the state.
Now, I know this could not have been an easy decision. I know, for example, in Newark, New Jersey, the new Performing Arts Center has been one of the engines of redevelopment in a city that's badly in need of redevelopment.
Absolutely. This budget is not a question of the governor's commitment to the arts. The governor and Mrs. McGreevy are both very strong, ardent supporters of the arts. And in fact, they were featured in a campaign for the State Council on the Arts that we have had to put on hold this year. It's also, as you alluded to, not a question of whether or not funding for the arts is a worthwhile investment. We are literally at the point, the governor has made this point, we're literally at the point that we can't even make the investment that's going to yield dollars for the state or is going to yield economic development for the state because we simply can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a question of need. It's simply a very basic question of dollars and cents.
Now, no doubt you're hearing from the arts community about this.
Very vocal, yes.
And they're presumably not pleased.
No, they're not. You know, what we're having to tell them, you know, is that this is a year in which health care has been eliminated in New Jersey for 70,000 adults who were on a program called Family Care. Higher education funding was reduced by 15%. 109 programs in the budget this year were cut completely from state funding. So we're at the point where we are, as you say, cutting not just the flesh but the bone as well.
How much money are we talking about?
In New Jersey, that's a good question. We're talking about $18 million that go to grants for 700 art groups.
It doesn't seem like that huge amount of money. I know that everybody's budget's being squeezed. You said you had to cut $1 billion, but $18 million, considering how much goes into other things?
You're exactly right, and I think that that's actually an indication of just how bad the budget situation is. The fact that you can't look for $50 million solutions or $100 million solutions, you have to look at solutions that are relatively small in size, I think is an indication of just how far we had to go to balance the budget.
Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't just happening in New Jersey, as you mentioned earlier. What are you hearing from your counterparts elsewhere?
Well, a couple of other states are looking at the arts as well, unfortunately. Missouri is looking at the same thing, and Arizona as well. But I have to point this out. Other states are looking at other equally draconian moves in an effort to balance their budgets. Right across the river in New York State, education funding is being cut by more than $1 billion. Other states are going to four-day school weeks. Some states are actually proposing the early release of prisoners or municipal or school aid are being completely eliminated in other states. So we really are at a point where the national downturn in the economy combined with the lack of federal support and federal aid in the president's stimulus package are just leaving us with virtually no options.
Let's take a call. Our caller is Angela, who's on the line from Salomas, Oregon.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm just calling to say I'm a silversmith here in Salomas, and Oregon's being hit really hard economically as well as educationally. And I think raising two small kids myself and just having seen the education system from coast to coast, that funding in the arts is of vital importance. Not only can it stimulate a young person's mind to think for themselves and think critically, but also it stimulates a really accessible facet of our economy. Pretty much anybody can do some kind of bench work or craft work. You know, and once they start thinking for themselves, they may branch off into more entrepreneurial, you know, type activities.
And those people with a little funding can develop programs where they're supporting themselves, maybe even hiring other people.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing. You know, here in, you know, Oregon, you know, we do have the prisoner releases. We have, you know, kids who are going to have four-day school days. And, you know, why not put them with a, you know, an artist, you know, like a local jeweler, a local, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. so they can at least learn that kind of dedication, you know, responsibility to some sort of higher authority in a real-time situation. You know, maybe they can earn, you know, $5 an hour or something, but it will show them that, you know, you don't have to work in a cubicle and, you know, at a desk job and, you know, strive for that kind of resume that they can go out and do it themselves.
Mike Rasmussen, I'm not sure you would disagree with any of that.
Well, that's exactly right. That's the point here is that we agree the arts are important. No one should read into these necessary cuts that anyone thinks that they're expendable. Unfortunately, this is a situation where we just simply can't afford it. One line that we've used is, you know, it's impossible to justify putting a painting on the wall when you can't put food on the table. And that's not meant to sound cold or callous. It's not but it's just simply an acknowledgement that we can't do even those things that are important, even those things that are necessary when we can't afford it.
Angela, thanks very much for the call.
Yep.
Okay. And Micah, thank you very much for being with us and talking about this difficult decision.
Thank you.
Micah Rasmussen is a spokesman for Governor McGreevy of New Jersey. He was with us from his office in Trenton, New Jersey. Joining us now from a little bit across the state, Princeton, New Jersey, is Jeffrey Woodward. He's president of Art Pride New Jersey, which is an arts advocacy group, and managing director of the McCarter Theater Center in Princeton, New Jersey. Good of you to be with us.
Glad to be here, Neil.
What happens to you if this funding cutback goes through?
Well, it's devastating for us. Many groups in New Jersey will go out of business. There was a severe cut about 13 years ago in New Jersey, and funding was reduced by 50%. 21 groups were forced to close, and many were crippled. Those that survive, like my institution, McCarter Theater, will have to significantly cut back our programming. It's going to mean fewer performances, smaller productions, and less development of new work, such as commissioning of new plays. We're going to have to look at everything we do at McCarter, and those programs that we do that provide the least amount of revenue, which is often our community programs, our work with school children, and senior citizens, are going to be the first to be cut.
Mm-hmm. Well, arts groups in New Jersey, as I think Mike Rasmussen referred to, are involved in a campaign to try to stop this from happening.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, we have a huge constituency. About 14 million people attend cultural institutions in our state, and we have reached out to them and have asked them to write and phone and email the governor and the legislators, and we're seeing a tremendous outpouring of support. We've also started setting up individual meetings with legislators. There's been a tremendous amount of press coverage, and front page stories have now moved to the editorial page, and you're seeing a lot of editorials now in the state in support of arts funding. And we will be a major presence at the budget hearings in Trenton in April.
We're speaking with Jeffrey Woodward, who's managing director of the McCarter Theater in Princeton, New Jersey, about proposed cuts to the arts budget in the state of New Jersey, state support of the arts. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to the phones. Clint joins us from Paris, Tennessee.
Thank you. Personally, I like art a lot, especially good art, and I support it with my money from time to time, both to preserve and to enjoy it. But I don't believe that our money should be taken from us by compulsory taxes to be spent on art. I believe it ought to be regulated, and the artist paid by supply and demand with consumers.
Well, get a response from that, Mr. Woodward?
Sure. The amount of state support for the arts is very small in our country. It's about $1 per person. In New Jersey, it's $18 million, as was mentioned earlier, which mm-hmm. is less than one-tenth of 1% of the state budget. Also, when you apply for arts funding in New Jersey and across the country, the application process is very rigorous and detailed, and it's a fairly thorough review, and not everyone is funded. And funding decisions are based on excellence as well as outreach and audiences served.
But one of the, Clint raises questions about subsidies in general. Is that right, Clint?
Yes.
Yeah. But one of the things we're talking about is hard decisions. If you were in the governor's chair, Mr. Woodward, and you had to save that $18 million, what would you take it out of? Would you take it out of health care? Or, you know, these are hard choices.
Well, I understand that, and we certainly received a cut last year of 10% on our appropriation from the governor. I would argue that the arts in New Jersey are a solution to the economic problems, not a cause of them. We recently had a survey done with Rutgers University on the economic impact, and that showed that the arts have a $1 billion impact on the state economy. That's both spending by cultural institutions, including the 11,000 people who work for cultural institutions, but also ancillary spending by people who visit our institutions. So if people who come to my institution will often eat in area restaurants, shop in area stores. Some will stay overnight in hotels, hire a babysitter, and buy gas for their cars. You've also seen in New Jersey, the arts have been a catalyst for urban renewal. You mentioned Newark earlier in the conversation, but you've also seen tremendous results in New Brunswick, and you're beginning to see some positive impacts in both Trenton and Camden because of cultural institutions.
Mm-hmm. Well, Clint, did you have something else?
Yes. If the art is good enough, each particular piece of art or piece of music or whatever, I believe that they would be continued by those who are willing to pay for it.
Okay.
And that would be the promotion of the general welfare.
Thanks very much, Clint.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Let's go now to Claudette, and Claudette is on the line with us from Seattle.
Hi, Neil. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I am an arts administrator here in Seattle, in the Seattle area. I'm a board member for the Washington State Arts Alliance Foundation, so I'm a colleague from far away of Mr. Woodward's. But what my concern is for the citizens of New Jersey and for states across the nation is that once the commission is eliminated, the reestablishment of that commission in the years subsequent to the financial economic times that we're having now, I think is going to be much harder, much more difficult for arts advocates to reestablish the commission and for the government to reestablish those funds.
Jeffrey Woodward, once programs are defunded, are they, and some of them will go away, as you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Maybe not the MacArthur Theater, but others perhaps, they're real hard to get started again.
Absolutely. When we were cut 50% a number of years ago, many institutions, including my own, took years to recover from the cuts. And I think what the caller is also saying is that if you eliminate a state arts agency, it's going to be very difficult to start it up again when times get better. We are fortunate to have one of the best arts councils in the United States in New Jersey. And unfortunately, if the governor does go through with this and eliminates all funding, and we haven't been cut here, we've been completely eliminated, we would have the distinction of being the only state in the country that doesn't support the arts.
Claudette, briefly, what's the situation in Washington?
In Washington State, we're looking at the governor's proposal is about 40% cut to the Washington State Arts Commission, and that is going to it's a huge impact on arts organizations around the state, from the small organizations like the one that I manage to my larger brothers and sisters around the state.
Well, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Jeffrey Woodward, we appreciate your being with us.
Thank you very much.
Jeffrey Woodward, president of Art Pride New Jersey and managing director of the MacArthur Theater in Princeton. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.